Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Okay, welcome everybody to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be continuing our series talking about spiritual gifts. Our main text that we have been focusing on and will continue to focus on throughout this series is found in 1 Corinthians. We had just recently finished chapter 12. Today, we're going to be entering into chapter 13, and probably in a few weeks, we will finish chapter 14. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 are kind of our anchor scriptures for this series. But as we've learned, there are other texts in the New Testament that also talk about spiritual gifts. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and we've already gone to those texts several times and we'll continue to do so. But we want to continue our series on spiritual gifts. Why? Because there's a lot of confusion in churches today regarding spiritual gifts. Confusion that unfortunately leads to all kinds of controversies, even church division. And it just doesn't make sense, right? I mean, as we've learned, spiritual gifts are gifts which are sovereignly given to us by God, given to all born-again believers. And we know the purpose of spiritual gifts: to bless the body, to build up the body, all for the glory of Christ. So this idea of spiritual gifts and church divisions makes no sense. This idea of spiritual gifts and exalting oneself as though somebody is more important than other Christians in the church simply because they've been gifted with spiritual gifts, gifted, by the way, according to the will of the Holy Spirit. Have spiritual gifts and yet exalt oneself, thus creating jealousy and discord and all kinds of division in the church. It makes no sense. But unfortunately, this idea of spiritual gifts and church division isn't something new. As we've been taking a look at 1 Corinthians, we saw that there was all kinds of confusion, all kinds of controversies in that church back then in Corinth. And if you've been with us during this study, we started out chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, and we saw how the Apostle Paul talked about the importance of spiritual gifts. We discussed what spiritual gifts are, who receives spiritual gifts, how we receive them, and what the goal or the purpose is for having spiritual gifts. It is for the common good. Again, for the blessing of the body of Christ, all to the glory of Christ. We saw that in chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And then, staying in chapter 12, verses 8 through, 8 through 11, we took a look at a list of some spiritual gifts. It was not an exhaustive list, but we took a look at some gifts. And remember, we talked about how some of those gifts that were operational back then in the early church, we learned that those gifts are no longer operational today. They have ceased. Those gifts, such as the gift of tongues and prophecy and miracles and healings, theologians call those gifts temporary miraculous gifts. Gifts that were given to certain people during the first century, the apostles and some who were closely associated with them. Those supernatural gifts, those miraculous gifts, were given to them for a specific reason: to validate the message or authenticate the message they were preaching about Christ until the New Testament was finished. But once the New Testament was finished, end of the first century, once the last living apostle, John, died, end of the first century, we teach that those certain miraculous gifts that had been given to them back then. We teach that those gifts were temporary and they have ceased. But we also teach that there are permanent ministry gifts that continue to be in operation today. Gifts such as the one I'm using now, the one that I've been given, the gift of teaching. But we also have the gift of administration, the gift of helps, the gift of prayer, all that. Every Christian in the body of Christ has been uniquely gifted with a combination of spiritual gifts as the Holy Spirit has willed, and we are to use those ministry gifts to bless the body and to bring glory to Christ. And then, as we continued in chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, we saw how the Apostle Paul used the illustration of the human body to show how the human body is one body but has many members. In like manner, the body of Christ, one body, many members. And remember how Paul talked about the absurdity of the human body? Let's say the foot says to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I'm just a foot, I don't really matter. Paul said, what? Or like the ear saying to the eye, well, just because I'm an ear, I'm kind of hidden behind hair where the eye's out front. Because I is an ear, I'm not an eye, I really don't matter. Paul said, that's absurd. In the human body, every member matters. For the health and unity of the body, it's the same with the body of Christ. Every member matters. And every born-again believer has been gifted by God. So don't be a foot and say, well, because I don't preach from the pulpit like Andrew the hand, I don't really matter. That is not true. In like manner, Andrew, who preaches from the pulpit, cannot say, well, look, I'm the eye. I'm out. Everybody sees me. I'm out front. Well, you guys are just ears. You don't matter. That is not correct. But that was the problem that was happening in that church back in Corinth. And again, it was creating all kinds of division. And then we concluded, last time we met, end of chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, where Paul again gave a list of some spiritual gifts, and then he rebuked the Corinthians because there were some in that church ready who were lusting for the spectacular, showy gifts. There were some in the church saying, well, why can't I be an apostle? Others were saying, why can't I have the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy? And if you recall, end of chapter 12, verse 29, Paul said, wait a second, all are not apostles, are they? What's the answer? No. All are not prophets, are they? Answer, no. All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Do you see what Paul was saying to those selfish Corinthians who were desiring, lusting what they thought were the greater gifts? I want to speak in tongues. I want to prophesy. I want to be able to heal. I'm not thankful and satisfied and content that, you know, I have the gift of helps. That doesn't really matter. I want the showy gifts. Paul said, what? And again, you see the same thing happening in churches today. People desiring the showy, spectacular gifts. First of all, they're desiring gifts that have ceased, or I should say many of them have ceased. And second of all, how do you get spiritual gifts? Based on your desire? Based on you, you know, keep praying and bugging and begging God for gifts? No. How did you get the gift of salvation? It's a gift, right? It was sovereignly, freely given to you. Well, how do you get spiritual gifts? Same way. They are gifts sovereignly distributed as the Holy Spirit wills. So Christian, whatever gifts you've been given, be grateful to the Lord. Be content with what you have been given and use your gifts to build up the body of Christ and to bring glory to Christ. And do not fall into the trap that some of those Corinthians were falling into, where they became jealous and envious because they didn't have certain gifts that others had. And do not fall into the trap, as some of the Corinthians did, where you start to exalt yourself and show off like you're the big person because you have certain upfront gifts. No. And then Paul concluded chapter 12 by saying to the Corinthians in verse 31, the Corinthians who were lusting for, desiring the greater showy gifts. Paul says, really? You guys want to desire? He says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, we know he's not talking talking about them desiring more spiritual gifts. Because again, gifts are given by the Lord. Paul was rebuking them on one hand, saying, you're earnestly desiring the greater gifts. What are you doing? And number two, Paul was saying to them, oh, you want to desire something greater than what you've already been given? End of verse 31. He goes, how about I show you a more excellent way? And what is that more excellent way? Chapter 13, the text we're going to start studying now. The more excellent way? Love. You see, the Corinthians, you might want to write this down as the big idea, they were enamored with the showy gifts at the expense of love. The Corinthians were lusting for the showy, spectacular gifts like tongues and prophecy, and they were lacking in love. And so our hot topic today, after that long introduction, is this. Spiritual gifts and no love as you use your gift? Well, wait a second. Focused on the gifts of the Spirit and not the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. By the way, notice I didn't say the fruits of the Spirit. Don't ever say that. It's one fruit. Ninefold manifestation of the one fruit. So the Corinthians back then, enamored with the gifts of the Spirit at the expense of the fruit of the Spirit. Love. And again, that happens a lot in churches today. Because there's so much confusion about spiritual gifts, it creates all kinds of controversies. And people who choose to use their gifts, they're doing it with the wrong motives, with the wrong heart. They're all about the gifts of the Spirit, but they're forgetting the fruit of the Spirit, love. And in doing so, they're exercising their gifts, not in the power of the Spirit, but rather in the power of the flesh. And you know what that's going to do? Create all kinds of division in the church. And so, after Paul, end of chapter 12, says to them, oh, you guys want the greater things? Super. He says, how about I show you the most excellent way? And we come into chapter 13, which often is referred to as Paul's chapter of love. Chapter 13, I'm sure if you attended a wedding, you heard a reading from chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not this and all that. But it's interesting, and it's okay to use that text in weddings, but it's funny. I've attended some weddings where the reader or the people who had asked the reader to read chapter 13 about love, they didn't limit the verses that were read. And so the reader would start out in verse 1 and read all the way down to verse 13. And this chapter, as we're going to see, not so much today, but as we continue to make our way through it, we're going to see this chapter talks about, tongues that will cease and prophecy and all that. And it's funny because there are times when readers are they're reading about love and all of a sudden they're talking about tongues. You can see everybody in the congregation who's attending the wedding going, what's he talking about? You know, even I remember somebody, the people who were getting married, they were like, when it got to the part where verse 8, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, they'll be done away with. We know in part, but when the perfect comes, this, that, and the other thing. You could just see the two people kind of looking like, they were horrified, like, what's going on? This reading doesn't make sense to what we're here for at the wedding. So anyways, what we're going to do is we're going to slowly make our way through chapter 13. Make sure we understand the context. And so we understand why Paul, here in chapter 13, is going to emphasize love, right? Because that was something that was lacking in that church in Corinth. Again, they were lusting for what they felt were the greater gifts, tongues, prophecy, and so forth. But they were lacking in love. And so we're going to just take a look at the first three verses today. And we're going to see how Paul rebukes them. Now, what you need to understand is, in all three verses, if you want to write this down, Paul kind of has a rhythm. He'll first name the spiritual gift. Verse 1, tongues. Verse 2, prophecy. Verse 3, giving. Which, by the way, gift of giving, you can just write down. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. So in these three verses, Paul starts out by naming a legitimate gift. Tongues, prophecy, which were legitimate gifts back then, and the gift of giving. He then, after naming the gift, uses hyperbole. He says, if you use this gift, and you even use it, here comes the hyperbole, to the greatest extreme, to something so exaggerated. And then after the hyperbole comes the hammer. But you have no love. The result? Nothing. That's the pattern, the rhythm in these three verses. First the gift, then the hyperbole, then the problem, no love, then the result, nothing. Does that make sense? So let's look at this starting in verse 1. Let's remember the rhythm. And by the way, notice Paul uses himself as the example. He uses the first person pronoun. He says, if I speak in tongues. He's rebuking the Corinthians, but rather than pointing the finger at them, he says, you know what? He says, you know, it could happen to me as well, even the Apostle Paul, that I can use my gifts but not have love. So he says, if I speak with the tongues of men, underlying tongues of men, in the Greek, glossios, this refers to known intelligible languages. The gift of tongues back then. You can write down Acts chapter 2. You can read it on your own, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and suddenly, without any training in advance, they were able to speak clear, intelligible foreign languages to the people from various different parts of the known world who were there in Jerusalem. The apostles had no prior training. They didn't go to a language school to learn those languages. They had been gifted by the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. Known, intelligible, understandable languages that they had never studied in advance. And we'll talk more about that as we make our way through chapter 13 and 14. So Paul here says, he names the legitimate gift. If I speak with the tongues of men, and here comes the hyperbole, and of angels. Why is that hyperbole? Listen carefully. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that the angels in heaven have some sort of private, like, prayer language. Some sort of angelic language. Why am I emphasizing that? Because many in the charismatic movement today have redefined the gift of tongues. They can't deny that back in the first century, the gift of tongues, understandable, clear, clearly articulated foreign languages. You can't dispute that. But the modern charismatic Pentecostal movement, because they build their movement, you have to have the gift of tongues, which, by the way, notice back in chapter 12, end of verse 30, where Paul says, all do not speak in tongues, right? So, Pam, contrary to what many, or I should say some, well, even many in the charismatic movement today will say, well, if you don't have the gift of tongues, you're not really, you haven't experienced what they call the second baptism of the Spirit, because you have to speak in tongues, they say. Well, Paul said 2,000 years ago, even when the gift was legitimate back then, he says, all do not have the gift of tongues, do they? No. And we'll talk more on that as we go through chapters 13 and 14. But again, what the charismatic movement has done, because they know that they can't just suddenly speak an intelligible, understandable foreign language they never studied. So what they've done is they've redefined what they call the modern gift of tongues, and they define it as, in verse 1, this private angelic language, gibberish, where they are communing with God. That's not what Paul's talking about here when he says tongues of angels. He's using hyperbole. Because again, in the scripture, we don't see anywhere where the angels communicated in some sort of special angelic language. When an angel would communicate with a human in scripture, the angel spoke human language. And the person clearly understood it, right? So we deny that teaching today that says that there's some sort of special or private, super spiritual angelic language. Make sense? Paul's using hyperbole here. Again, verse 1, he says, if I speak with the tongues of men, legitimate gift back then, and you know what? Even, let's just use an exaggeration, of angels. But if I don't have love, he says, I become a bunch of noise. A noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Which, by the way, in that culture back then, the pagan worship services, people would get drunk, high. They would start speaking in ecstatic gibberish, suspending their minds, claiming that that caused them to draw closer to their deities they were worshiping. And while that was happening, and they were in a drunken stupor, and they were just in this super enthusiastic, ecstatic gibberish in the background, gongs, cymbals, trumpets to get the people's emotions going. Paul says, you Corinthians who are lusting for the gift of tongues, even if you have them, and let's say you've got them in such an exaggerated way, even of angels, but if you don't have love when you're using your gifts, he says you're a bunch of noise. Now, we teach that the gift of tongues has ceased, but we still have tongues that we use to communicate, right? So let me ask all of you a question. Over the last week, as you have used your tongues to communicate to your loved ones, to people at work, to people in the church, how has your love been? No love? According to Scripture, nothing but a noisy gong and clanging cymbal. Do you understand what Paul was saying to the Corinthians? If you're not exercising your spiritual gifts in the fruit of the Spirit, love, you're just noisy. Let's go to verse 2. He names the legitimate gift. If I have the gift of prophecy, notice he uses himself as the example. And here comes the exaggeration now, the hyperbole. And I know all mysteries and all language, and I have all faith. Now, yes, knowledge and faith are spiritual gifts, but why do I say this is hyperbole? Notice he says all. Who is the only one, Michelle, who knows all mysteries and has all knowledge? God, right? Okay. So he's using hyperbole again. He says, okay, you guys want the gift of prophecy, huh? Great. Let's say you have the gift. And let's take it to the extreme. You have all knowledge, all mysteries, and you have all faith, he continues to go, to the point to remove mountains. You believe God can make possible even the impossible with your faith. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. Nothing. Andrew, you study the scriptures, you try to understand what God meant by that which God said so that you can faithfully teach it to the people, Andrew. Wow, Andrew, you seem to have a lot of knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. This is impressive, Andrew. But if Andrew does not use that gift of teaching and the knowledge that the Holy Spirit allows him to have through the ministry of the illumination of the Holy Spirit, all that knowledge without love is nothing. Makes sense what Paul's saying to them. Let's go to verse 3. Another gift of giving. Again, Romans 12:8. He says, if I give, and again, he uses himself as the example, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor. It's interesting. Give here, give my possessions. In the Greek word is psalmizo. It literally means if I piecemeal out and keep giving on a constant basis to feed the poor, which is a good thing. And then it comes to hyperbole. And even if I do all this, and if I'm willing to surrender my body to the flames, but if I don't have love, all that giving, all that sacrifice, profits me nothing. I'm sure you guys have thought, especially down here in South Florida, you see a lot of homeless people in the street corners, right? So many people have come up and asked me, Pastor Andrew, what do I do? I'm like, well, what is your heart leading you to do? Your mind. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, yeah, I want to give because I feel sorry for those people, but part of me is like, you know, I'm afraid they're going to use it for drugs or alcohol, or maybe they're just trying to, you know, make money off this and they're just pretending they're poor. I say, okay, then what do you do? Well, I give anyways. You give anyways, huh? How do you feel when you're doing that? Skeptical. No love, right? You're giving, but there's no love. What does Scripture say? Profits you nothing. God loves a cheerful giver. Do you see it? And so, right here at the beginning of chapter 13, do you see why I said this many times at weddings? Someone will read chapter 13 starting in the first three verses and people are sitting like, what in the world are they talking about here? Do you understand the context? And guys, what was happening with that church back then could easily happen to us, right, today? We can use our gifts, but if we don't have love as we're doing it, if we're using the gifts of the Spirit but not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we're a bunch of noise. We're nothing. It profits us nothing, right? That's why we need to constantly be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. How is that? The word of Christ needs to richly dwell within us. So that, Galatians chapter 5, as I conclude, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to bear the fruit of the flesh, which is selfishness, dissensions, discord, but rather you are going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Again, one fruit, ninefold fruit, which is in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And as we're filled with the Spirit, the word of Christ richly dwells within us. We will bear the fruit of the Spirit, and we will use the gifts of the Spirit which we have been given, and we will do it with an attitude of love. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Christian, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are in the household of the faith. Christian, you've been gifted with spiritual gifts. Use them to bless the body of Christ. Do it with love and bring glory to Christ. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.